face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. I know, everyone thinks we suck and, can't win any games. So we'll see.
How many arms does their drummer have? Def Leppard.
Two.
One.
Well, safe answer.
Just one.
Like, why would I even ask you that? You should know it's a trick question.
Something must be off.
He's a drummer with his teeth. So
three would have been wild.
Bigger news.
Imagine that.
Jeez.
Four.
Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us. Dan's dates are coming up at 12:50, and I already know today's a big day in the dates.
I don't want to say anything. Let it go.
I was already texting the group this morning about a couple of items that have anniversaries today. And I'm like, today's a big day for Dan's dates.
Just leave it alone.
Why?
Devote an extra block if you want.
We've got a jam-packed Dan's dates at 12:50.
Beal and I are in on this joke here. Love it. I'll say whether the listeners are too, but you're going to like it.
Okay. Let's get to what Zoe is about to tell us.
Okay.
So what's the latest on the chip on the shoulder?
Mike Reese had this. Devin McCourt, 18 captain on SiriusXM NFL radio.
Okay.
Does an interview and he says, when people think of the Patriots, they always think of the three teams that won in the early 2000s or last two Super Bowl championship teams, which I've been a part of. He said, but each team is different. Each year is different. You develop your character as the season goes on. This season has been a little chip on the shoulder for each guy in our locker room.
Ooh.
So this is player number four in a matter of 2 days where it's coming out that, okay, we got a rally. Like, we got something to we got something to hold. It's different. Reese thinks this is them hearing the comparisons to Super Bowl teams of years past where maybe they think, here we go, we're ready to go on a run, but yet we get the disrespect that we're the worst team out there. Worst of that crew. And maybe not up against the rest of the league, but past winners of your own past. That's interesting.
I like it.
And that's team captain McCourty. They're very guarded in the way they talk, but it's starting to come out now. This team feels like they're getting there. Not calling the shots to get to the Super Bowl, but they know they got a fighting shot. And they all got a chip on their shoulder. All of them. Including the quarterback. If the quarterback's got one on him, you know number 11's got one on him. He was staying there in that locker room. I'll tell you, bad guy right here, 11.
And do you think this week we're going to get more people nationally picking them? Because I think we are.
How could you not? Because this is where it's going to my reputation, everything where I've been trying to kill these. And Dion did it too. And I keep bringing up Dion, but Dion has picked against him in the past. And Dion's like, I learned my ass lesson. I'm doing it. Not doing it. You all can sit up here. You all pick them and I can sit here and laugh at you.
Yep.
Sit here and laugh at y'all.
You want to hear Nate Burleson from Good Morning Football yesterday morning?
Yeah, he kind of gave up, right?
So this is, So this is the first NFL show of Championship Week Monday.
I am 100% sure that the Patriots will beat the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Oh, no!
Pat Mahomes, you're the MVP. But Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. You guys will be outmanned and outcoaching this one. I got the Pats winning the AFC title game. And they'll be headed to Atlanta.
Ooh,
and if I don't, if I'm incorrect and my prediction doesn't come true, I will wear a barrel on Monday after the AFC title game.
Are they playing Denver? Like, Denver has the barrel guy.
I don't get the barrel part.
He's going to wear a barrel.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That's what's going to happen. But I think you're going to get more of that this week.
Well,
that's going to really ruin that chip on the shoulder. Everyone starts picking them.
Yeah, there's a notion around here that people don't...
You're not going to get smoked again twice in 1 week. You know, so, I mean, not them, but I'm saying you as a personality, your take. If you're picking, Chargers' hottest team, they're going to beat them. You're not going to pick against them after what they did.
I think
everybody's going to reverse it.
The best you can do to motivate now, Beetle, what you're talking about, it's not going to be the disrespect that people don't believe in them or, you know, because coming off that game, it's going to be hard for everyone to pick Kansas City in this game because what they just saw. But no one wants them there. There's still that.
That's correct.
Outside of this region, no one wants them there.
I could buy that.
The Chiefs is an attractive new team. New young quarterback, the next thing.
Totally bad.
Let's watch that on Super Bowl Sunday. We don't want to see Belichick and Brady getting the same themes and all that. So people are tired of that. There's the whole, sorry to let you know, some people think that they got their nefarious ways, you know, over the years. But people are just tired of them, and they don't want to see the same team. Like the way you get tired of the Yankees or over the years. I mean, so that exists, and there won't be anyone who wants them to win.
That's fine. I can understand that. The VSiN Action Update has an update on how much money is coming in on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ooh.
It's got a breakdown of where the money is.
Good.
And where it's coming in early. After the Patriots advanced, the line opened up at -3 for the Chiefs going into the game, which is basically a pick 'em.
Want to hear this?
The Action Update is brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels, the only places in New England you can legally bet on sports. Powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com.
Here's the Action Update. Action Update. And also check out the Over Under 98.5 podcast on our 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Blue Emu Lidocaine Cream and Maximum Arthritis Cream. Deep, penetrating, and odor-free. Beat the pain and live life. Blue Emu. It works fast and you won't stink. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Sharp money came in early on the Saints and Patriots, but public bets have been leaning slightly toward the Rams and Chiefs ahead of Sunday's NFL Conference Championships. 52% of the tickets on the NFC title game are on LA, a 3.5-point underdog at New Orleans. 55% of the bets on the AFC Championship are on Kansas City, which is a field goal favorite at home against New England. With 10-degree weather forecast at Arrowhead Stadium, the over-under has dropped from 57.5 to now 55.5. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Beetle, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're going to eat in Kansas City, buddy. Our Q39 barbecue's pretty good.
Going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here we come. Going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here we come. Patriots and the Chiefs.
They got some pretty new women there, and I'm going to get me one.
Dated Sosa. Do like a segment on that. This is Bob's Calls. Brady's in
the gun. Just slow him down. So if you know the Dated Sosa, we might have something there.
You know the barbecue places?
James
the two most White, famous
ones? Offset to his left side. Yeah. Q39, I guess, is the big one. It's really, really good. Burnt ends. Just go there and get burnt ends with coleslaw.
That's Gates and Bryant's. That's all I know.
Yeah, I mean, those are popular.
Gates and Bryant's. They used to be a big, the Kansas City Kings used to be the Kansas City Kings. Before Sacramento, was there anywhere in between? They were Cincinnati. They were everywhere.
You know, what's nice, it's a lot of dry rub out there. Like, I don't like sloppy sauce.
Yeah. It was a big Celtic debate when I traveled with them. Where to go in Kansas City? Gates or Bryant's?
Gates is a good one. Gates has steaks, too.
Guys talked about it for days.
We ate at Gates, I think, last time we were there.
Mm. Constant.
You know what you could tell? How you could tell it's good, too? Multiple locations.
Right.
One downtown, one outside the city. It's like, ooh. They must be doing pretty well.
617-779-0985. Let's get back to your calls. Let's go to Mike, who's in Atlanta today. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on? Seeing this game coming up this weekend, it's clear they're going to have to score and probably manufacture some points. And I see a Sony Michel flea flicker coming in the first quarter. 24 carries on 34 snaps last week.
It's so Josh like too, right around the 50.
Yeah, it's like, and I mean, everyone's sleeping. They see Sony on the field, they think, oh, run play, so they can totally catch him sleeping.
He's got his.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Pitch.
I think I actually, called it in 14 where they hit midfield, and I think they were down at that point. I think I remember calling, okay, perfect spot for Josh to take a shot here, flea flicker. I think he called like a reverse flea flicker or something.
They haven't run it with Sony yet this year, right?
I think it was Amendola. They have not, no.
Have they run it with this entire season?
It was James White they ran it with against. I think it was against the Packers maybe. But it would be such a great way to quiet the crowd early. Thanks, guys.
I love it, Mike.
Didn't they do it against Pittsburgh in 04?
Start practicing it, Sony.
I think they hit Pittsburgh on 1 in 04.
Sell it, turn around, pitch it. Mm. Do it all, kid.
Mm.
Don't fumble.
Peeling away to the 20, to the 10, to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
You should also lower his pitch there a little bit so that he sounds.
Peeling away to the 20, to the 10.
Make it sound deeper.
The end zone.
Yeah.
You got football scores that fall.
Yeah, you got to make his voice a little deeper on those.
Sedated Sosie. I love it. New bit.
Make the voice a little deeper. That's what. Then I think we're really in business there with Sedated Sosie.
Sedated. You can play the intro to the Colts owner.
Sedated.
You can do that. Or you can do hello, hello.
Pink Floyd?
Yes.
Is there anybody there? Here's a random call. It says the subject line is Eric Dickerson. Jesse and Tom.
Oh, I know what this is.
What's up, Jess?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
What is the Eric Dickerson thing? What have I missed out on?
He's a Patriot hater.
Yeah. He's saying that the Patriots cheated and they looked at their film or took their film or something like that and they know.
He runs up and down, straight up and down. That even lowers shoulders.
He's bad enough. We already suck. Now we're cheaters again. Yeah?
Oh yeah. Well, get ready.
Well, get ready for it. I mean, this is what happened.
Oh my god. When it's
fascinating.
Rams,
all
coming back.
I went down at Eric Dickerson wormhole one day. I don't know if it was a 30 for 30 or was that documentary on SMU and him and Craig James when they were there in a recruitment of Eric Dickerson to get him to go to SMU.
Yeah, the Pony Express.
The cars. Right. Oh my god. He was huge in high school and college. And man, that dude. I love watching him run. Kid was smooth. Straight up and down, never lowered his shoulder, though. Guy can run.
Did you work with Ron Meyer?
I never worked with
him. He came here from...
Yep, he was prior
from
to
from SMU.
Yeah.
I'll say this to all the Boston fans as I watch them on social media. We want a rematch in L.A. We want them back again because they cheated us. They know they cheated us back in New Orleans. Yeah. They watched our film. We want some more of them.
Was he playing?
No. Why did it become us? I mean, it's like...
I thought Marshall Faulk was there, not Eric Dickerson.
Yeah, Marshall Faulk was there.
So here's a little. Hardy sent out a video of us trying to raise the hands. You called me the white guy.
It's Tom in Worcester today. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
What's up, brother?
It's been a while since I called in. I got a couple of questions, one for Zoe and one for Dan.
Yes.
So I'm kind of curious about how the practices unfold during the week like this. Does the defense actually come out and sort of try to mimic what they think Kansas City is going to do, or do they just do what they're going to do against Kansas City?
Yeah, I mean, real quick, I've done this a million times before. The first practice of the week is a offensive install practice. The second one is which would be a Thursday, normal practice week. Wednesday would be offense install, Thursday's defense. You come together as a team at the end of each, and you mimic. Yeah, you have cards that you run off of. Ernie Adams draws up all the cards. That's what he sits up there and, hey, man, watch the Three Games of Glory DVDs. That's all they do. They have guys upstairs that scout it, that draw it, that put it all up, and you know, you run the card teams.
And hey, well, thanks. One question for Dan.
Yes.
I see that the greatest rock band of all time is coming to Fenway on September 13th.
You like the Who? Yeah.
Are you going to be there, Dan? What do you think?
I don't think so. It's only half of the Who, of course. I mean,
well, you definitely fit the demo, left, though, Dan, for the crowd they're going to attract with that show.
No,
between that and Billy Joel, I mean, they've got the Billy old Joel's white being, guy market.
They're creating a Hall
like
of
you
fame
wouldn't
for
believe.
Him. Creating a Hall of
like
Fame.
Like you
for him.
Would not believe.
Yeah. Billy Joel's his 6 year running.
What's the average age at those shows? And I've seen both of those acts.
It's a lot of old white people.
Yeah.
He didn't ask color. He said, what's the average age?
Oh. 62.
No, I did say they had the old white guy market cornered at Fenway. Sure they do. Most certainly do. With the Who and Billy Joel.
It would be sort of the same for the...
Oh, and Fish.
The Dead and
Fish is coming,
What about Dead and Company?
Fish, same line as Dead and Company. Fish is coming.
They're for young people, aren't they?
No, not really.
Really?
Jesus, Dan.
No, they're not.
I thought they were the young people's band.
I just my kid about Fish. Really she would not spell it F-A-P-H. She spelled it with an F.
Fish?
What's Fish?
There will be, I bet, of the three crowds, that will be the youngest. There are some young fans.
Absolutely.
But we'll see. Just took
the covers off the Hardy loves The Who.
Yes, he does. But even Hardy admits that seeing them at this point, it's hit or miss.
Yeah.
We saw them at the Garden together probably 3 years ago, and it was good.
Okay.
It's good. You don't want to ruin that for yourself.
Yeah, I'm not tempted to go see The Who at Fenway, no.
No.
I'm not.
That was a little Fish for you. We play some Fish on this show.
I wouldn't know Fish.
We play some Fish. We play one of our...
I don't know any Fish.
I would stand for that. Like at a...
Yeah?
Outdoor club, like at a... talk about... It takes you to time and place. A nice little lounge outside a hotel. Where you got the woven seating and the bench seating and the heated lamps and you got two external outdoor bars. You got the little fire pits cranking.
It's like a pool boy working inside. Yeah.
Pool boy. Yeah. Hey, need some more towels and some ice.
That's the music. Yeah, you're right. It was good.
Oh, funky.
He's always good at painting those pictures.
Yeah, he really does. He's really good.
Like grandfather's basement kind of stuff. It's good.
This takes you nowhere.
Okay, that's enough of that. Isaiah Zanuten. Isaiah?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Hi.
Hey. A couple years ago, the competition committee went nuts because Brady wore his scuba suit under the pad in one game.
Is that right?
I was wondering if you could talk on that. I'll take my answer off air because it's going to be cold in KC. Thanks
a lot,
guys.
I forgot that. What's the story of that?
I think he had one of those, I don't want to say perforated, but one of those little foam suits underneath. And I do remember that. I think obviously you have to wear league approved clothing and stuff you wear underneath.
But nothing ever came of that.
Nothing ever came of it. I think he's actually experimented with the diving gloves, the scuba gloves, because of some of the really bad. Maybe this goes back to, I don't know. I got to research it. The Titan game. Remember when the really cold 13-10 game against the Titans? That one.
Yeah.
I think that was the one he wore it in.
That's the coldest ever.
I think so.
Yeah, Saturday Night Titans, 2003.
Maybe the scuba suit was against Peyton in Denver. Remember the 28-0 game they came back in? Really windy, cold, and wet. Bill took the ball, elected to kick with the win, and Welker ended up fumbling. They ended up winning that game in overtime. I think that was a scuba suit game.
No, I'll tell you exactly what the game is if you give me one second.
The Tennessee game?
It was. Hold on. Wait, this is incorrect. Give me a second.
It's usually like one of those, a body glove makes them. That's what all the surfer boys wear.
It was the Jets game at the end of the end of last season. Hmm. The last regular season game was the Jets at home.
Oh, it was cold.
And it was 13 degrees, and that is the day that Brady broke out the scuba suit. He wore a scuba top.
You see a Cody hat on this week? Nice one, huh? That big cloak. A little different most coats. Warm water running through. Mm-hmm.
Although Brady confirmed in an interview at that time. Actually, did it in 2016 too. So the last time he on the record did it was the end of last season. But he also did it in 2016. Says he experimented, started using them, and figuring out how to use them back in 2004 in the Tennessee game. Says he wore something like it that night too. Maybe he cut the sleeves off. It wasn't as noticeable. But I bet the scuba suit comes back out this weekend. Do you think Patrick Mahomes knows to wear a scuba suit?
Probably not.
No.
Probably doesn't know about the scuba suits.
Does he have one of those really warm headbands? He likes the headbands under his helmet?
Patrick Mahomes, I read yesterday, has played in 4 games under 40 degrees in his career. His only loss in cold weather was the loss that he suffered to the Chargers this year, which it was like 39 degrees. So I don't think weather was much of a factor in that one. But he doesn't really have a long track record of playing in the cold, and Brady obviously does. So he's got that going for him.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's a tie-in, Jim? There's always a tie-in. No, nothing? Just a little Eddie Grant get us going?
It's a good song.
All right.
Oh, I didn't know. I was looking for that, too. I thought maybe this was Fish. I was surprised.
That can't be. This is good.
Eddie Grant right here, right? Eddie Grant? Electric Avenue.
Okay.
Can't get food for the kid.
Electric Avenue. Here, keep that going while I take Blair in Maine. Blair, you got your 30 seconds. Go.
Hey. So we're going to rock down to Electric Avenue, and we're going to get the best win ever for the Pats, because we are going to rock down to Electric Avenue.
All right. Oh, no. Talk to you next week. Oh, no.
Maybe he'll never call back.
He gets one a week.
That was good use of it.
Sure was. Get out of the way. There it is, man.
Take it higher.
Win-win.
Give everybody the hype they need. John is in Maryland today. John, what's up?
Yeah, top that.
Hey, I can't. Got a thought on the game for this Sunday.
Where are you at in Maryland?
I'm down in Potomac, Rockville, nice, University of Maryland, area. Class 89.
Yeah, fear the turtle.
Right.
So wait, you guys were in school together then?
The VU was good then.
You guys crossed paths.
Hell yeah.
We probably did. You go downstairs in a basement, and there's no toilets. There's nothing. You just throw up and pee into a hole.
You're exactly right. You would wear the duck boots. Everybody had duck boots and shorts on. It was disgusting. And they only drank out of pitchers. But you looked around the floor. There were like metal. There's like plastic pitchers all over the floor. They rinse them off in the sink, and then boom. What's the name of that Chinese place on the other side of 7-Eleven? You're like on directly on the other side of it. We used to eat there all the time.
I know the place, but I forget the name. That place has changed a lot.
Sure has. All right.
Well, this is what I was thinking. We came off a pretty good win at home against Kansas City, and then we traveled to Denver. And then that's the game where we almost pulled off at the end, miss an extra point. But you remember, our O-line coach got fired. Line was in shambles for most of that season, and Belichick pulls the trigger almost like the day after and both fires our O-line. I have a lot more confidence going in this year with our O-line, the way that they've kept Brady upright, the way we've run the ball against Kansas City's defensive line. That's okay, but it's no Denver defensive line that went on to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're talking about Gooch. That's going to be
Yeah, I think that's going to be a key point that's going to come through. And I think I also like the cold and Mahomes' lack of experience in the cold and Brady's experience. So those factors make me feel pretty good about this Sunday coming up.
Coach he's talking about is Dave DeGelmo.
Gooch.
DeGelmo. Yeah, Dave DeGelmo.
Dave
DeGelmo.
Fired again today, right?
Got fired again today by the Colts. They said the Colts had the best offensive line in the league. But that was a Josh hire.
So he got canned just because of who hired him?
Probably.
That sucks. Yeah. That's not good. Okay. Offensive line. Put it in the plus column, the pros going into the game.
Yeah. Offensive line was huge this week.
Yeah. Playing well.
See, that's a concern of mine with the running game is firing off the football if you can't hear the count. you know, because you're moving, you're going off movement. So you've got to be on, man. I mean, walkthrough is critical this week. The silent count, the noise, the practicing with the music. They're probably gonna stick earplugs in your ears, just so they can't hear, because you don't want to flinch. So the attention to detail this week has got to be perfect.
Nick is in Foxborough. Nick.
Hey guys, how we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. First, just let me say, Zoe, I heard that pool boy talk. As a pool boy myself, I just want to let you know we prefer attendant. We're not just your eye candy.
Thank you. I mean, I would not do the eye candy stuff, but I would love the Evian water chilled. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Of course.
Cool wet towels.
Absolutely. Nothing but the best. But anyways, the reason I'm calling is, I don't know if you guys are aware of this yet, but the one of the head refs for this Sunday's game is Cleet Blakeman.
Yep.
AKA the biggest conspirator behind the D-word scandal of a few years back. We refuse to say it in my household. So just wanted to know if you guys think that holds any weight and if it's going to become a story this week.
My first memory of Cleet was down in Carolina that Monday night game when they wrapped up, when it was Luke Kuechly covering Gronk, and they threw the flag, but they didn't pick that up. Said the ball was uncatchable. And Cleet was in Super Bowl 50. I think he reffed one of those. So he's got experience. It's a mixed crew. So I wouldn't read much into Cleet's crew during the year. I came out right?
Yeah.
Cleet? Yes. Okay. Didn't feel like it rolled off the tongue well.
So. No, that was good.
Cleet.
Good referee. Oh, no.
Times Dan's dates. Oof. What are we doing, Dan? What are you oofing? What is the date that you're not going to talk about?
No, it's going to be a surprise for you.
Oh, good.
It's going to be the closer.
Nice.
Cleet Blakeman, yes, was one of the alternate officials in Foxborough for the Deflategate game in 2014.
It's nothing to do with Cleet. Had to do with the...
His measurements on his gauge are all recorded much lower than the measurements taken on a separate gauge by the other... alternate official who was there. That was Cleet Blakeman's role.
But he still measured it and wrote it down. I mean, it is what it is.
I don't know that Cleet Blakeman was a conspirator.
No, it was that guy that worked for the league.
He was being directed to do it.
Damn it. He used to work for the Jets.
He was there when I was there.
I saw him in Mexico City eating dinner. I'm like, whoa, there he is. The tall guy.
What the hell was his name?
Oh,
God, one of our enemies during
come
the
Come on,
was
Jim.
It Kensick?
Yeah, Mike Kensick.
Mike Kensick,
Kensel.
Yeah.
Kensel.
Kensel.
Mike Kensel.
Kensel.
Kensel. I was walking down the street.
I thought they sort of buried him.
They did. He worked for the league. He had a higher up, but he's like international and league affairs.
Oh, so he goes to Mexico and London.
Yeah. I was walking down the street in Mexico City. I'm like, holy crap, where's Kensel eating on a little cafe?
Yeah.
Wow. Look at you back.
Kensel, that Patriot hate.
Yeah,
SOB.
You got to squeeze the balls again.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
Dapper Dan.
Big one today, Dan, on January 15th. A lot of things to get to in these dates. A lot of things.
What's up, Dan?
Fire away, Dan.
A lot of pressure to live up to because we have billed this. But so, January 15th. Okay, let's start with birthdays. Randy White. How old do you think Randy White is?
Randy White, University of Maryland.
He's got to be up there. I'm going to say 79.
He went to school in 74, Maryland.
Zoe's doing the math now. He's going to be better than you.
I'm going to go 67.
66 years old today.
Yeah. How old?
66 years old.
He's only 66?
He's a graduate of Maryland in 74.
He was co-MVP of the Super Bowl with Too Tall Jones.
I didn't realize he played as late as 88. Yeah. Wow.
They had the old-time pictures, you know, where, like, you put the cameraman on the ground and you run and you have no helmet on. Yeah. You got your uniform. You dive. And you get that aerial shot.
You know how many times he was first-team All-Pro? You know, we talk about first-team All-Pro being the thing to be.
A lot of times.
Forget the Pro Bowl. Nine times.
Yeah.
Nine times first-team All-Pro for Randy White.
Yeah, pretty good.
Who would have thought he was older?
Drew Brees, big one today. He's 40 today. So that's
Cliff, get ready for
two 40-year-old quarterbacks in the Final Four now.
That's if I were good. Those guys, I'd endorse the Cliff Bar. There's a Cliff Bar,
I like that.
Protein bar?
Yeah. Man, money, it's like
they're
tomato
good.
Cans.
They're really good.
Create your thing, money to be made. There's a rapper, Pitbull. You guys know who that is? You've heard of him?
Yes, many
times. He's not really a rapper. He's
Mr. Worldwide.
He's an artist.
The reggae rapper slash reggae artist.
Reggae?
Reggae.
I don't know. Gloria Stefan.
How old is he today?
Pitbull? He's probably in his 40s.
I'm going to go 42.
He's 38. Still alive, right? He goes on?
Yeah. Mr. Worldwide. Mr. Worldwide.
Stuff that happened in this date. There was music things happened in this date. George Harrison released My Sweet Lord in this date, 1971. And years later was caught in plagiarism because he ripped that off from She's So Fine from the Shirelles. You don't know that, Peter?
Same
beat. My Sweet Lord and She's So Fine are the same song. George Harrison had to pay out on that one.
That feels like a reach.
No, they got him.
I know they got him. There's so much of this now.
If I was doing sports radio back then,
there's so many notes out there.
The rock and roll. I would have nailed it. One of the early ones.
I would have busted him back then.
Yeah,
because I do this all the time.
They got him. Other music stuff. You know, Swan Lake was released. That's a Tchaikovsky tune in 1895.
Sort of a famous one. Though.
Mozart's Opus in 1785. Big music stuff.
Big dates.
On this date, Gomer Pyle got married in 2013. Jim Nabors. He was 82 years old.
82.
He married a man. He was a gay man. Gomer Pyle.
Okay. Yep.
That happened. That happened on this date.
That was big back then.
In 1559, Queen Elizabeth was crowned in Westminster Abbey. In 1892, the original rules of basketball devised by James Naismith were published for the first time in Springfield, where the game originated.
The YMCA.
Basketball, yep.
The court is still there, you know.
Yes.
You know that?
It is still there.
Have you ever seen that thing?
I have.
There's pillars in the middle of it?
Very cool.
It's wild.
Jim and his kid went out there and stayed there.
The YMCA?
No.
They stayed at the Hall
of Fame.
Well, it's not at the Hall of Fame.
No, it's not at the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
I wish it was.
There's a court at the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
That's not where
okay. I'm sorry.
On this date, Martin Luther King was born on this date in 1929.
Birthday.
Yes, 1929. Martin Luther King was born on this date. The Green Bay Packers defeated the Kansas City Chiefs in the original Super Bowl in 1967 on this date. It was not termed the Super Bowl until years later when Lamar Hunt's son was playing with a Super Bowl and the whole thing came out. So it was the championship of football, the first time the AFL and the NFL played each other. Vince Lombardi's Packers beat the Chiefs. So a little note in Chiefs Nation. Oh, yeah. My Sweet Lord.
Identical.
Oh, man.
That was pretty good on short notice there. I don't know how he did that. That was good. That was good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. Let it go, George.
I'm wrong on that. Yeah, what a rip.
He didn't mean to. It just was in his head. You know, it was just a tune. Yeah. He had this tune in his head.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do it in one test I took in Maryland either. I don't know how that answer got there.
On this date in 1973, Nixon announced the suspension of all U.S. offensive action in North Vietnam, citing progress in the peace negotiations. The lead singer of the Cranberries died on this date last year.
Oh.
Yes, Dolores O'Riordan.
Died. What? She's dead?
That was a year ago.
I don't remember her dying.
She died in a bathtub.
No, Whitney Houston.
In London, yeah. She was 46 years old.
Bill, you were in the best shape this time last year. So.
Good point.
Accidental drowning.
Good point.
What'd you do?
In a bathtub. Yes, that was very
That's a good point. Mentally, I wasn't very, wasn't quite with it. Yeah.
Now, Zoe, this one's for you, Zoe. I know you're going to like this one. On this date, 10 years ago today... Sully brought that plane down in the river. Yeah, you love that one, right?
Sully Sullenberg, yep.
Yeah, Sully Sullenberg.
Can you imagine getting on a plane with that guy as your captain?
Chester Sully Sullenberg.
I've talked a lot about this.
His Airbus 320 in the Hudson River after a flock of birds disabled both engines, all 155
bird strike.
Okay, so after, say, post 9/11, right? Imagine, I said this too, and I've been talking about this a lot. Imagine being on that George Washington Bridge, stuck in traffic.
There it is.
And you see that freaking bad boy just barely. They said it was literally 10 yards above the bridge when it came over.
Imagine that.
And Zoe, would you believe that's not even the most important of Dan's dates?
Well, can I get a few that you missed before we go to the big one?
I guess. You better hurry, though.
New Connecticut, also known as Vermont.
Yeah.
Declared their independence today on 1777.
Bernie Sanders still.
They said we're out.
Yeah.
We don't want to be Connecticut, and for that I applaud them.
Okay.
Congratulations, Vermont.
Connecticut's where you get smart
enough
to
get the hell out of there,
right.
Not having to deal with those people in Connecticut. So there's that one. And American Pie at number one on the charts.
That's pretty good.
Don McLean.
Yep. 1972.
Original tune.
American Pie went to number one.
I sang that with my kids last night. That's crazy.
Years ago, 20 years ago today. Varsity Blues.
Yeah.
I don't want your life.
Your life. That was in the theaters.
Come on, Mox. Do you like Sundays, Mox?
I
Dolly Varden.
Did you have Nixon suspending military action? Yeah, you had that, right? You covered that?
No, there was no Hitler, no Fuhrer today, but everything else, so January 15th.
I think that's it, and now we got a really big one.
The drum roll now, and 100 years ago today, at this very moment, because it happened shortly after noontime, which is hard to believe. So this was all going on in downtown Boston. 100 years ago, at this very moment, a tank containing an estimated 2.3 million gallons of molasses burst, sending the dark syrup coursing through the North End. 21 people were killed. This tends to be an amusing item to a lot of people, but it's not. There were 21 deaths, including, Beetle informed me, one of my ancestors. Oh,
yes, yes, Peter Shaughnessy.
You saw the death list on this thing?
Yeah, I saw it recently. It was something. There's all kinds of articles out there today.
Mark Shanahan did a piece in the Boston Globe magazine. You know, what sounds like a B-movie directed is no joke. Oh, 21 people died. Dozens more were badly injured. Unsuspecting men, women, and children were smothered, asphyxiated by a tsunami of vicious brown syrup. When their bodies were finally recovered, their eyes and ears and mouths and nose were filled with the big goo.
The wave was 25 feet tall, 165 feet wide. There's a park there over in the North End now where it happened. Imagine this, 25 feet high, 165 feet wide, traveling at 35 miles per hour.
Yeah, it would go 50 feet a second, the molasses. It was not moving slowly that day. And it was in demand at this time because of munitions for World War I.
Jesus.
The refined sugar cane was much in demand. It could be converted into industrial alcohol, a critical ingredient in the manufacturing of munitions. World War I's, you know, going on, ending. And this thing was still there. They had this distilling company built a tank, a holding tank, on Commercial Street in the North End, right near Boston Harbor, and it arrived from Puerto Rico and Point South near the harbor, and they would roll it over, put it in the tank.
Terrible.
And the tank gave way.
Was built by a guy who didn't know how to read blueprints and had no background in any sort of engineering. He had no idea what he was doing.
It's kind of like one of those above the ground swimming pools.
And then the company that owned it was sued. It's actually a major legal landmark type of case for being able to hold corporations accountable for when stuff like this happens. They sued, and the company claimed that it was a group of anarchists that blew it up, that did it on purpose because of the munitions.
The rising tide leveled buildings and buckled the steel girders of the elevated railway, overwhelming everything and everyone in its wake.
It took the fire station right off its foundation.
And you know the most amazing part, though?
What?
If you go to the North End in like July or August,
you smell it?
Just inhale. In a real warm day.
That's a cold.
You can still smell the molasses.
That's an old wives. That's a tall tale.
Try it.
Urban legend.
Try it.
Urban legend. Nope. There are a lot of people that have been swearing this for 100 years. Oh, if the weather's just right, I believe you can still smell the molasses. There was just much of it.
It's like Hershey Park, Dan.
It was this moment, 100 years ago at this moment.
They say that
roaring through.
Because it was on the water. Imagine if it were located further inland. God. Would have gone in another direction. Yeah. Would have killed more people.
I'll leave you the story. You can read it in spare time. Yeah, molasses flood. Right
thanks,
there.
Man.
Yeah. Okay.
Wild.
That's it for me. I'm over.
It's a big one. All right, Dan.
What's up, buddy?
See you guys next week. So, see you in KC. We'll go to Gates and Bryant's.
Sounds good.
All right. Dan Shaughnessy packing it up.
Call me.
It's for overtime. And he is out.
For overtime.
Fourth and final hour.
Late.
Solak and Bertrand is on the way in just 90 seconds.
I don't want your life.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.